Let's read together Job chapters 16 and 17. In these two chapters, we have Job's second response to Eliphaz, one of Job's would-be counselors. Let's begin by reading the first five verses of chapter 16. Then Job answered and said, "I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief." Let's begin our study of these two chapters with some background notes. In chapter 15, we had the second speech of Eliphaz, and now here in chapter 16 and 17, we have Job's response to that second speech of Eliphaz. Now, we've seen in the first round of the dialogues that Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, Job's three would-be counselors, all maintained that Job was suffering because he had sinned. Because, after all personal suffering is because of personal sin, they said. Job strongly disagreed with this philosophy and said so to his so-called friends in no uncertain terms. So you might think that the friends would lighten up and maybe change their view somewhat, or at least show a little more mercy in the second round of the dialogues. Such is not the case. They come on as strong as ever with their wrong premise that all personal suffering is because of personal sin. We know that Job's counselors are wrong here because God says so in no uncertain terms at the end of the book when these so-called friends of Job have to bring sacrifices. You know, some folks today have the same mistaken idea as Job's three friends had. That is, when a person is suffering, it is because he or she has committed some personal or secret sin. This is not biblical teaching. Now, it's true that God can use sickness and suffering in his dealings with sinful people and in his discipline of wayward believers. But to jump to the conclusion that every time a person is sick or suffering is because he or she has committed some sin is not right. Such wrong thinking is not taught in the Bible. Here in chapter 16 and 17, we have Job's second response to the second speech of Eliphaz, and we find that Job does not back down an inch from his position that he is innocent and that he is not suffering because of some personal sin or hidden sin in his life. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for these two chapters in Job, Job chapters 16 and 17. So doctrinal point number one, in his second response to Eliphaz, Job shows his disgust. In his second response to Eliphaz, Job shows his disgust. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, the verses that we just read. Now, it's hard to miss the disgust that Job shows toward his three counselors in these first five verses of chapter 16. "You guys have not helped me one bit. You are sorry comforters," verse 2. "You're nothing but windbags," verse 3. "If we were to exchange places, I could say the same bad things about you," verse 4. "But I wouldn't do that. I would instead comfort you in your pain," verse 5. "But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief." In his second response to Eliphaz, Job shows his disgust. Doctrinal point number two. In his second response to Eliphaz, Job shares his distress. In his second response to Eliphaz, Job shares his distress. Chapter 16, verses 6 through 17. Let's read these verses. Job chapter 16, beginning now with verse 6. "Though I speak, my grief is not relieved. And if I remain silent, how am I eased? But now he has worn me out. You have made desolate all my company. You have shriveled me up, and it is a witness against me. My leanness rises up against me and bears witness to my face. He tears me in his wrath and hates me. He gnashes at me with his teeth. My adversary sharpens his gaze on me. They gape at me with their mouth. They strike me reproachfully on the cheek. They gather together against me. God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He also has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. I have sewn sackcloth over my skin and laid my head in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Although no violence is in my hands, and my prayer is pure. We see in these verses that even though Job's friends were not helpful and a source of stress for Job, this was not the major distress for Job. Job's main concern was why God had allowed him to suffer. God had exhausted him and taken away his strength, and Job speaking out or remaining silent did not help, verses 6 through 8. Job believed that God was angry with him and hunting him down, verse 9. Apparently, Job was an object of ridicule to the ungodly as he sat there suffering out in the town dump, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 reminds us of the terrible treatment given to our Lord by the ungodly, doesn't it? Look at verse 10 once again. They gape at me with their mouth. They strike me reproachfully on the cheek. They gather together against me. Job felt that God was attacking him as a warrior without mercy. Verses 12 through 14. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He also has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. Verses 12 through 14. Even though Job continued to believe he was innocent, he was worn out and willing to admit defeat as an animal with its horn in the dust. Verses 15 through 17. I have sewn sackcloth over my skin and laid my head or horn in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Although no violence is in my hands and my prayer is pure. Verses 15 through 17. In his second response to Eliphaz, Job shares his distress. Doctrinal point number 3. In his second response to Eliphaz, Job states his desire. In his second response to Eliphaz, Job states his desire. Chapter 16, verse 18 through verse 5 of chapter 17. Let's read these verses. Job chapter 16, beginning now with verse 18. O earth, do not cover my blood, and let my cry have no resting place. Surely even now my witness is in heaven, and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads for his neighbor or friend. For when a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return. Chapter 17. My spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. Are not mockers with me? And does not my eye dwell on their provocation? Now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he who will shake hands with me? For you have hidden their heart from understanding. Therefore you will not exalt them. He who speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children will fail. We see in these verses that Job's chief desire is not that he be relieved of his suffering, but that he be vindicated before God. Job did not mind dying as long as he was finally vindicated, and his case was not forgotten when he had gone the way of no return. Verses 18 through 22. Job longs for an intercessor who would provide a pledge for him in court. Job knows that his only hope is God, even though it seemed that God was against him. Job knows that his friends will not stand up for him. In fact, he hopes that they will reap what they have sown for their lack of understanding of what God had allowed. Chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Job longs for vindication from God himself. In his second response to Eliphaz, Job states his desire. And doctrinal point number 4. In his second response to Eliphaz, Job stresses his dilemma. In his second response to Eliphaz, Job stresses his dilemma. Chapter 17, verses 6 through 16. Let's read these verses. But he has made me a byword of the people, and I have become one in whose face men spit. My eye has also grown dim because of sorrow, and all my members are like shadows. Upright men are astonished at this, and the innocent stirs himself up against the hypocrite. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. But please come back again, all of you, for I shall not find one wise man among you. My days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day. The light is near, they say, in the face of darkness. If I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, you are my mother and my sister, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Will they go down to the gates of Sheol? Shall we have rest together in the dust? We see in these verses that Job's dilemma or predicament was that no matter how he looked at his situation, he could not see the purpose or reason why God was allowing him to go through these terrible troubles. Job could not see how becoming a byword and ridiculed served any purpose. Was he an object lesson to help righteous people grow stronger in their faith? Verses 6 through 9. But he has made me a byword of the people, and I have become one in whose face men spit. Upright men are astonished at this, and the innocent stirs himself up against the hypocrite. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. In his dilemma, Job reluctantly turned to his three friends again, even though they were not wise, verse 10, and even though he knew that they would say the same old thing, that light and hope would come to Job if he repented, verses 11 and 12. In his predicament, all Job could do was look forward to death, knowing that any hope would die with him, verses 13 through 16. If I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, you are my mother and my sister, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? In his second response to Eliphaz, Job stresses his dilemma. And that brings us now to our practical application for these two chapters in Job. Praise God, Job's desire for a mediator has been answered. Praise God, Job's desire for a mediator has been answered. We saw at the end of chapter 16 that Job's great desire was that he be vindicated before God. If only there was someone who would plead his case. Look at chapter 16, verse 21 once again. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads for his neighbor or friend. You know, it's remarkable that Job uses the word man here, even though he has just stated in verse 19 that his only hope is for God himself to step in as mediator. Look at verse 19 once again. Surely even now my witness is in heaven and my evidence is on high. Well, praise God, Job's desire for a mediator has been answered. The mediator is both God and man, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Praise God, Job's desire for a mediator has been answered.